You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If you are among those, the dwindling number of people who still watch television news programs at 5, 6, or 10, you know that there is a standard format of the news that never varies. The two last items on every newscast are the weather and the sports. And the reason is quite simple. If you doze off in the first 20 minutes of horrible news and stupid commercials, you don't miss very much. Let's take the last item first, the sports. Everybody knows that it's a fantasy world, that it's a bunch of overpaid crybabies who get paid for breaking rules, and I'm sorry to say, that's why it's last in the newscast. And now that I have alienated most of the men in the congregation, let me back up the next step to the weather. The weather is arguably the most boring and ignorant part of the newscast. How do you take something as dull as the weather and make it exciting? And so, except for maybe 2-3 days a year when there really is something to be afraid of, most of the time these people dramatize it to the point of absurdity. You have to make it seem interesting, and it just is not. So unless you are into isobars and highs and lows and all those silly things, the weather is pretty much a waste of time too. And 9 times out of 10, it's never as bad as they say anyway. I start that way this morning on Pentecost because we got some weather news here in the scriptures. You perhaps heard that a few years ago, I think there was a movie called The Perfect Storm. I have no idea what it was about. I'm told it was about some big storm at sea and a boat out there and all of that. But it's true. Sometimes weather is a factor. It's violent, turbulent, noisy, lots of energy expended. And we know from news reports, faraway places have earthquakes and tsunamis, hurricanes, and sometimes tornadoes. So if you're a weather nut, maybe you should move to Oklahoma and become a storm chaser. In the Pentecost story, it's interesting, in the Acts of the Apostles, when the early followers of Jesus were clustered in that closed space, all of a sudden, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, the writer says there was a sound of a strong driving wind shaking the house, and there were tongues of fire that appeared. And so it was an atmospheric event taking place. God was using physical phenomena to accompany a spiritual reality, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the first day in the church's life. Now, when you look through the Bible, there's a lot of weather things happening here and there. Even the story of creation doesn't start out with there being absolutely nothing. The story, as is told in the original Hebrew, says everything was in chaos and turmoil. In other words, there was a turbulence building, and God breathed on it and started putting order into all of these things. So even creation itself starts out as a kind of a weather report on the 10 o'clock news. And very shortly after that, after our first parents had sinned, the flood, Noah's Ark, another major weather disaster. And on it goes down through the Bible. So often when God spoke to the people, there were meteorological events going on to highlight the event. Thunder and lightning and bright lights and earthquakes and all of those kinds of things. We're even told that when Jesus was crucified, there was an earthquake that shook the land. And so weather phenomena do have something to say to us, and it's important that we understand why it is being said. But on the other side of that, Jesus quite plainly was much in favor of peace and tranquility. Remember the story when Jesus and his disciples were crossing the sea in a boat and a big storm came up and he was sound asleep? They were panicking and Jesus calmed the storm. And so Jesus, on the day of his resurrection, as we heard in this gospel, when he appeared to his disciples, he said, first thing, peace be with you. And then he commissioned them to be agents of peace and reconciliation through the forgiveness of sins. So the church exists in this in-between space between violent turbulence and peace and serenity, and it's kind of wavered back and forth for 2,000 years. The reading from Corinthians reminds us that we do church best when we do it together. When we take the gifts that we have and we work together to solve the problems of our human community and prepare for the coming of Christ. So I think the Feast of Pentecost invites us to ask ourselves very briefly, how do we handle the storms of life? And let's just be honest about it. We don't make the 10 o'clock news very often, but all of us have periods of turbulence and storminess in our lives. It starts with birth, which is a kind of a rough affair, and it ends with death, same thing, and many points in between, and many different ways. Our physical health, our emotional well-being, our social life. We go through periods of ups and downs, and there are storms that come up, and it's important that we handle them with a good way of reacting. Whenever a storm comes up, any kind of disaster, there are two possible responses. We know this when, for example, there's a tornado. There are always stories of heroism, people helping one another, binding each other's wounds. And then there's the negative side of it too. People go into looting storefronts and all of those kind of things. So storms bring out both the best and the worst of our human nature. And I think as individuals, we need to make sure that we are always in possession of our right minds and our faculties, and that when stormy days occur, we don't panic and we understand that God is still in charge. The Holy Spirit still lives in the church, and we are agents of peace and reconciliation. And then certainly in community, it's so important for us to work together to solve the storminess and the turbulence of our lives. It's important, especially, that we use our gift of language, which plays such a prominent place in the Pentecost story. Language, too, can be both good and bad. It can be used to divide people and to inflame hatreds and racism and bigotry and all kind of things like that. Or language can be used to calm and soothe, to bring people together in unity. That was the story at Pentecost. You heard in the reading that there were people in Jerusalem, potential enemies of one another, speaking all these different languages, and they were coming together, and by God's Holy Spirit, each heard the good news in his or her own language. And so we should make sure, especially, that we use our gift of language for healing and peacemaking and not for inflaming the fires that divide people. So Pentecost is a time to pray again, as we do every year, for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps it sounds corny, but what we perhaps need in our world today more than many other times is a perfect storm of Holy Ghost. We need to have every single Christian fired up and inflamed with God's Spirit, full of energy, and using his or her gifts to bring about the brotherhood and the sisterhood of our human race. We are so fractured and fragmented. We are so torn apart by so many division lines and fault lines in our human community. It is so important that we be empowered by God's Spirit to heal those divisions and prepare for the coming of Christ. So today, that's our prayer. You're going to hear it in just a few moments in different languages. I don't know if you will understand them, I won't. But we know in the Spirit that God prays through all of us, through all of our languages and our cultures. We celebrate that and we treasure it. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.